Good evening and welcome to Missions in the Backyard. It's always a thrill for me to sit with different individuals and find out what they do in life to benefit the kingdom. And I have a good friend, Paul Dillon. Paul is a Christian attorney, been an attorney practicing now for a lot of years. But I asked him to come in. He was our recent speaker at CLAIM, which is Christian Leaders Active in Maine. And I said, Paul, would you come in and share with the audience? Because I'm not sure they're aware that wills, estate planning, you know, is something that's very, very, very important today. And I said, I bet you can answer some questions because he and I could sit over coffee and just ask questions about life and death and all of the things that go along with it. But Paul, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome, Tom. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to start tell them a little bit about yourself. You've been around for a long, long time, how you got into what you're doing. I know you got a life verse, Micah 6:8. I want you to share that, at least that life verse, as we kick off the program.
Well, that verse was given to me in law school by God, and how I got to law school and got into law school and graduated from law school is a whole miracle story by itself. So we'll tell that another time. But in law school, I got Micah 6:8, which basically says that, you know, what does God require? And that is that we live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And that's how I try to govern my practice. I went to law school late. I graduated when I was 30. I'm now 67, believe it or don't. I'm 37 years. I've been in Corinth, where my office is now, and I've been there for 27 years as of June the 1st. And I focus my practice on business, estate, and elder law planning.
We hear things like elder abuse, and we hear things on the TV now, how important it is. And, you know, you might have your own story, and, you know, there's a lot of sadness that goes along with this. But sitting with a local attorney and trying to lay things out, Paul, I don't know if we can give them a step-by-step, but let's start off with good reasoning. You know, we need good reasoning. And obviously it starts with prayer and things like that, but good reasoning to have a plan. A plan to pass on what God has blessed us with, whether it's a will, whether it's a trust, whether it's an estate plan. Those are things we can get into afterwards, but how important is it in your opinion?
It's vital for people to plan not just for when they're gone, but also while they're living. What people sometimes don't realize is if a parent or a spouse gets ill, they don't automatically have the right to find out medical information, financial information. There's nothing more frustrating than to call the electric company and try to switch a bill over, and you're told, I can't talk to you because you're not the person on the account. And so part of the planning is starting with basics. And the basics would be for living, would be having a financial power of attorney where you name someone you trust, typically your spouse if you have one, if not, maybe a friend or an adult child, who would be responsible to pay your bills and make sure things happen when they need to if you become ill. The other basic thing while you're living is a health care directive. And in Maine, a health care directive has four parts. The first part is who's your agent. Who's going to be making decisions for you if you can't make those medical decisions? You don't have to be terminally ill. You could just be in surgery. You could be on medication and the medication's not working well. Somebody has to make a decision. And if you can't do it for yourself, if you designate someone, they will be able to step in. The second part of that is what we refer to as the living will. And that is, if you are terminally ill, there's no hope and you're going to die, do you give permission to be taken off of life support or remain on life support? That is a major issue, particularly when you have families that don't necessarily agree on how mom or dad should be treated at end of life. By having your wishes in writing, that can help eliminate many, many awkward discussions, let's put it that way, at the foot of a hospital bed. The third part of that health care directive is an optional provision, and that's if a person wanted to be an organ donor. And so they could donate, you know, particular organs, or they could say anything that's useful. And that can be important to people. And even older people often joke, well, I have no organs that I can donate, but I've been told by doctors that our skin is something that regenerates, and even older people could donate skin that would help burn victims.
Oh, wow.
And then the fourth part is who's your medical provider, if you're blessed and have a doctor or a medical provider. So the idea is, if you found yourself in the hospital, the first two things they're going to ask you are, do you have insurance? insurance to cover this. And I always joke, I don't cover insurance. But do you have a health care directive or a living will? And the idea is they're looking to know, who do they talk to? What happens if you're terminal? Where do they get your medical records from? And are you an organ donor? So the financial power of attorney, the health care directive, are why you're alive. Those end when somebody dies. So planning ahead, at a minimum, a person would want to have a will. And the reason you want to have a will is because that's a written direction as to where you want your property to go. Oftentimes people will say, well, I don't need a will because I own everything jointly with my spouse, which is correct, except that when the second person dies, it's going to have to go through probate to pass on to the family. Probate is a process by which property is transferred from a deceased person onto their heirs. With a will, you can designate specifically where you want it to go. If you do not have a written will, then the state will decide where things go, and often that's not where you wish.
Stop right there for just a minute, Paul, because the people are really starting to spin out there and their heads are going crazy. What if I don't have a will?
If you don't have a will, the state of Maine takes care of that for you. So, for example, in its basic form, if a husband and wife with children, let's say the husband passes away, without a will, the state leaves about a half to the surviving spouse and the other half to the surviving children. Now, sometimes the children are very cooperative and they'll give mom what remains. Other times, let's say it's a farm and you've got farmland, and 500 acres of farmland is pretty valuable. So now the adult children who own half of it with mom say, Mom, if you'd like it, we'd be glad to sell it to you. And that can cause issues. By having a will, having it written out, everything at my passing goes to my wife. When we're both gone, we split it between our children. That typically sends it where people want it to go.
In perfection, it's all good, okay? If mom loves dad and dad loves mom and the kids love mom and dad, and this all works. We're not living in that world today, are we?
No. No, unfortunately, we're not. And sometimes we're all in-laws. But I find in my practice, I've been practicing now over 37 years, I find in my practice that sometimes the in-laws have a distorted picture of the family dynamics and ownership and value, and so they interject themselves into it, and they can stir things up in a situation like this. Well, I was on the internet, and I saw that a farm in central Maine is worth $1 million, so therefore, Mom, you know, give us $500,000, we'll be glad to sell it to you.
Wow. Step two, okay, you've convinced me. I probably should have a will. Before we give you the step-by-step, and if we can't do it this one, we'll do one more program with Paul to make sure that we can at least give you maybe some generic steps that you can take and say, you know what, honey? We need to talk about this. I heard them talking on the radio, and, they was talking about the importance of this. We're talking about difficult conversations. I mean, death and taxes and passing things on in a will, these are very tough.
They are tough conversations, and one of the toughest parts is to get your adult children to sit down and listen to you talk about it, because we don't want to talk about it.
We don't.
It's death and dying, and you're not going to die, Mom and Dad, and let's not talk about it. But we need to have those conversations. Another thing that comes to mind as we're talking about this, it's not just older people that need a will. People will often ask me, at what age should I do an estate plan or do some planning? If a person is married, has minor children, one of the other purposes of a will is to designate a guardian. If both parents are gone, who's going to take care of the child? Because if you don't have someone designated, the state will find somebody for you. Or, as I often say, the one family member that you don't want raising your child is going to be the only one available that the court will appoint. So to avoid that, you put it in writing, put it in a will. So in your will, you're designating where your things go and guardians of your minor children.
I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because I think as young parents out there, if you're riding along, say, well, we don't have to worry. We don't have much property. We don't have much cash. We don't have much anything. Your most valuable possession are those two little ones.
Correct.
Sitting right there in the back seat, 1-year-old and 3-year-old, and you're in an accident, and life is gone, and who's going to take care of those kids?
Correct. Correct.
You know, you might think Grammy can step in and take over. Well, that's not necessarily the law.
Correct. Correct. There could be a dispute over who is to be appointed, and again, your obvious choice, without putting it in writing, could not be chosen.
My purpose today is not just to, to introduce you to a Christian friend lawyer that's mine, is to tell you how important it is for you to put your house in order. God's told you to do it. The Bible tells us to do it. We put it off until we're of age, so to speak. Paul, is a basic holographic will, handwritten, Tom Olby signs it, is that legal today?
In Maine, a holographic will is legal.
That means handwritten, by the way.
Handwritten, but the key is that the primary rule is that most of the will has to be written in the person's actual handwriting, and it has to be signed and dated. Okay, it doesn't have to be witnessed, as long as it's
not notarized.
Not notarized, as long as it's in their handwriting. Okay. And I've actually probated a sticky note once where a mom had written on a sticky note the date, my car goes to my son, Joe, and signed her name. And unfortunately, she was killed in an accident, and there was some dispute. And I was able to present that sticky note to the judge so he would allow the car to be transferred to the son, and then the rest of the issues were dealt with.
Wow.
So holographic wills will work. And like I tell people, it's America. You can do whatever you'd like to do. So holographic wills are legal. The other thing that people will do is go on the internet, and they will try to put together a will on the internet. Sometimes the issues there are they don't understand, and it's not their fault because they're not being directed. They don't understand there are certain basic requirements in a will, such as who I am, who's going to be in charge, who gets things, and where does everything go that's left over?
Yeah.
Sometimes those basic things get left out, and now we have disputes when a little planning, a little question, a little advice would have helped to avoid that.
It's simple and it's cheap. You could sit out and do this, okay, in the privacy of your own home. You could. But if you need advice, you find yourself a... How important, Paul, is it to you that we find a Christian attorney, in your opinion?
In my opinion, first of all, it's important that you utilize an attorney because the advice, direction, and care that attorney is going to give you. The second thing is finding a Christian attorney, someone who's believing your beliefs, is going to be able to help you address those personal issues of, do I want to leave something to certain people? Do I want to leave something to the church? Do I have other charities? And those questions can be discussed and answered in a way that's understood by both sides.
My guest tonight happens to be Paul Dillon. Paul is a local attorney, not so far outside of Bangor, and giving practical advice on how important it is for you and I to make a plan of life and death. Healthcare, financial plan, living will, those kind of things. You join us next week and we will do part two. How important is an estate? How important is a trust? What's the difference between a trust and a will? Why should I have an estate plan? And how important is it that I sit down with a Christian attorney and get this done? And we want to be the first one to tell you, folks, you need to do it. You really do. And to you young families, if we just scratch the surface, I'm telling you something, you need to have a plan for those two little ones. You really, really do. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
And you join us next week and we'll do part two. God bless you. You have a wonderful week.